It's Friday!
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for the first Friday on the front porch of this May 2022. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tube. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and the great globe round. If you pop in right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Stockton, Larry, Squeaky, Roger in Oregon, Kid Mark, and Anatole, and moderated by, well, me, which is to say, unmoderated. Because I got a message from Sparky earlier today saying that, and I just think this is darn sweet. Sparky's got a date this afternoon. Yay! So glad somebody does. Enjoy it, Sparky. Enjoy. I hope you and Mary have a lovely afternoon together. I really am happy for you. And so, hi, I'm Robin, and we will see what all we can get into this afternoon. We will have a Friday on the front porch in about an hour. The link is up at headon.live. Just use it and pop right in, and somebody will start the call. And, we will see, we'll see how things play out. Let's see. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. We started out with a fundraising goal of, I have to check here. We started out with a fundraising goal of $1,480, and I can say thank you to Nick. Thank you, Nick. And thank you to Lady B so very much for your kind contributions. We are now down to $1,420. As a fundraising goal for the evening, and we say thank you to our sixth day of the month. Oh, that's very funny, Steve in New York. Are you the moderator or the momderator? Yeah, okay, that's an early cowbell. Well played. The momderator. I'm not much of either one, frankly. But thank you so much. And thanks to our buddy Zed as well. Zed kicked in for the two new subscribers we got last month and doubled their first month's subscription. Thank you again to Nick. Thank you to Don in West Tennistan. Thank you to Michael in Madison. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to John. Thank you so very kindly. And thank you as well to Roger. So wait a minute, that's 1410. And thank you, Barbara, jumping in last night. I saw that toward the end of the program. So, yeah, what that means is that all but $90 of this week's programming remains unfunded. So we'll try to knock that down as much as possible. I certainly hope we can. That would be a whopping big Friday on the Front Porch community-made miracle. But nonetheless, okay, so this, I mean, this isn't a news story as such, only insofar as something I noticed. Oh, thank you to Ralphs. Ralphs is offering a $25 challenge, so that would get us down to $13.60. And that would be fantastic. Thank you, Ralphs. No, I just happened to, I had to go out and run some errands, and I was listening to National Petroleum Radio. And I don't know, maybe we can file this under the subheading of, maybe for a while now, guys, dudes, shouldn't be reporting on women's reproductive health stories. First of all, there's the editorial choice that was involved with this this segment on NPR. I don't know who the genius was in the, I don't know, the managing editor or the assignments desk or whatever, but somebody had the just really horrible, terrible, bad idea of inviting or offering to interview the national president or executive director or exalted misogynist or whatever the hell she is of the National Right to Life Committee. I, honest to God, do not remember her name, because the minute they said that, that's who they were interviewing, I felt this sweeping wave of nausea roll over me, and I began questioning, why in the hell would you want to give free airtime to that godforsaken monster? Because she is a monster. Only monsters want to bring about the deaths of real, live, in-person, living, breathing women. And she is a goddamn monster. And I can't, like I said, maybe if the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department wants to look it up, maybe you'll come up with her name. But that, here's what happened. The purpose of the interview was, well, with the leaked Supreme Court opinion coming out, it looks like Roe v. Wade is, and Planned Parenthood versus Casey are coughing up blood on the back stoop. They're pining for the fjords, headed for the bleeding choir eternal. And so, what's your next step? Is there anybody who doesn't know what the next step is? Once Roe is overturned and it goes back to the states so that the grunting, barking, hooting religious maniacs in Alabama and Mississippi stan, etc., can enact complete bans on reproductive health care, RU486, ban the morning after pill. Is there anybody who is so godforsaken simple as to think they'll say, well, we won. The states that want to ban it will just ban it. We won't bother California and Oregon and Washington and Massachusetts and New Jersey and New York and Rhode Island and Connecticut and Vermont. No, we won't bother them. We'll just deal with our little confederacy. Our little Jesus land. And we'll all go and get honest work. and leave this multi-billion dollar industry to wither away because it won't be necessary. Bullshit! God damn it, these monsters are gonna, they're going to sharpen their fangs and come after the civilized states with renewed vigor and a zealot's determination. Carol Tobias, a native of North Dakota, she's served on the NRLC Board of Directors since 1987. That means she's never had an honest job in her life. She's spent her entire adult working life barking and grunting and moaning about the precious little fetuses. But that, again, there's more to it than that. The dude who was doing the interview and doing a terrible job of it, I mean, it was almost as if he, I don't know, you could almost swear he'd been to the joke toad school of broadcasting because he goddamn sure didn't know how to press on a follow-up question. And Carol Tobias might not have liked it. And so he asked her, okay, so you get abortion, are you going to come after contraception? And she danced and weaseled. We know they're coming for that. Well, what about an IUD? Well, you know, we're just going to continue our efforts to educate and hopefully women will choose life. Now, I'm still trying to figure out how, in a country with one of the highest postpartum maternal death rates in the developed world, how a woman dying is choosing life. But even that Orwellian newspeak garbage couldn't compare to what came out of her mouth next. I kid you not, I just pulled into the driveway from my errands, and I had the radio still going, because, oh my God. And she said, you know, we just want women to understand that newly fertilized egg, that newborn, and that's when I hooted like a barn owl. Whoop! No, Carol Tobias, the self-hating woman who runs National Right to Life, said that a fertilized egg is a newborn. Does that chill you? Men, does that chill you? I know it's running through the women in this community like cold steel. Yeah, all in the sick, twisted, vile, vulgar, filthy, hateful, disgusting, rotten, goddamned agglomeration of putrescence that slops around between Carol Tobias's ears, she has with one fell swoop declared that a fertilized egg is a goddamn birth. Sorry, not doing so good with my girl voice right now. And yes, in 2014, thank you to Ralph serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. In 2014, she testified before the United States Senate Committee on the Judiciary in opposition to the so-called Women's Health Protection Act. God. You see what that means? I mean, they're taught, yeah, they want to control women's bodies. But now they're past wanting to control them. They've declared them non-entities, nothing but incubatrices. Latin it. I like Latin words. She is literally nothing but a vessel. She is an owned creature who doesn't even have bodily autonomy to be anything but an incubator for what this disgusting freak now says is a newborn. The minute the sperm works its way through the outer barrier of the egg, that, according to this hateful harridan, is a newborn. It can't think. It doesn't have a brain. It doesn't have a heart. It doesn't have a bone. It doesn't. It's just a cell. A single cell. And she says it's a newborn. You see where they're not anywhere near done. And of course, the dude who was interviewing her didn't even notice. He didn't even catch it. And he moved on to his next question in true joke-toed fashion without so much as a hint of a follow-up. How does she get to call a cell a newborn? And the so-called professional journalist interviewing her doesn't even notice that. Was he asleep? Or maybe he's secretly a supporter. I don't know. But God, that was a terrible attempt at journalism. Jesus. Disgusting. And again, I can't think of enough awful. I can't think of. Well, whatever. Whenever the end of Carol Tobias comes, I hope she remembers the harm that she did. You know, people like her wave posters of supposedly aborted fetuses in the face of a woman going to get a pap smear, for God's sakes, at Planned Parenthood. Maybe it's time to print up a hell of a lot more of those photos of poor Jerry Santoro and stick them in the faces of the pasty-faced, doughy white dudes and the self-hating women who enable them. And, I don't know, make them own it. Working for Life since 1968, the National Right to Life Committee. You know, life, as long as it doesn't belong to a woman dying from a botched abortion. Poisoning. Whew. Well, I guess that was just too much. Just too much. So at least I tagged him in a tweet, NPR. A couple of notes coming in. Ron in Raleigh says, I heard an interesting statistic. Did you know that maternal mortality in Alabama for black women is, hold on to your hat, 180 times that of white women? You think Sammy the Fish thought of that? Well, yes, I think he did think of that, and being that he's Sammy Bad Breath and he despises women, that's cause for celebration for Sammy Bad Breath. Remember, You can't spell halitosis without Alito. I was listening, Ron continues, to Santita Jackson's Jesse's Daughter program 2 days ago. She and a guest said she was pro-life, but instead of banning abortion, she wanted to make abortion obsolete. How in the fuck is that even possible? And it seems to me that pro-life and progressive politics are incompatible. And I am compelled to agree. I mean, I don't. To me, the right to reproductive health care is absolute and non-negotiable. You know, just like Republicans consider the Second Amendment to be, and their precious fetish for their guns. Absolute and non-negotiable. Isn't it amazing? A pro-gun maggot won't stand up for his wife's own rights, but he'll kill and die for his access to guns. Answering my question about NPR, Darlene in Connecticut says, because about 7 years ago, the NPR ombudsman stated on NPR with Steve Inskeep in the morning that the U.S. is moving in a conservative direction, and so their reporting is doing the same, at which point I determined never to listen to them again. I get it, but there's not a hell of a lot on the radio dial around here, so it was, you know, I probably would have been better off without it. But, yeah, that's why they're awful. Someone pointed out, Randy Radar says, that the Constitution says something about having the right to be secure in one's person. That's in the Fourth Amendment, Randy, secure in one's person's papers and effects. And then said that the Supremes must not consider women to be people. Yeah, that's an interesting theory. Because if, as I'm reading now, things like period tracker apps that many women use can be accessed by the state, well, that would require a search warrant, wouldn't it? At what point in time does the attempt to determine whether a woman is pregnant or not become a search within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment? And earlier today, I caught a clip from the Senate Democrats, and Senator Kirsten Gillibrand was nothing if not pissed. Now, I have had issues with Senator Gillibrand in the past, her former dalliance with the National Ruble Association I found troubling, but she has apparently ended that relationship. But in regard to what we're dealing with now, she was, as senators go, approaching about as furious as I've ever heard a senator be.
This is an issue that is defining for this country today. And if the American people don't stand up for equality for
Hold on, that is just not loud enough. Let's do that some other way. Hold on just a second. Dang it. There you are. Yeah, here we go.
This is an issue that is defining for this country today. And if the American people don't stand up for equality for every American at this moment in time, we will be undermining a right to privacy in more than this context. Women deserve freedom and bodily autonomy. We deserve to be able to make decisions about when we are having children, under what circumstances we are having children, how many children we are having, and at what time we are having children. I would like to speak to America's men for 1 minute. Imagine you do not have authority over your own body for 10 months. Imagine if that decision-making would not be taken away, even if you would die in childbirth, even if you couldn't decide who you were having children with, even if you couldn't decide when you were having that child. I don't think a man in America could actually imagine not having control of his body, his bodily functions, what happens to him, and what life would be like for 10 months. It is an outrage that we have five justices on the Supreme Court who lied in their confirmation hearings order to be confirmed. It is an outrage that in America today that our judicial system is so corrupted and so politicized and no longer representative of the will of the people. Five justices said they respect precedents. Five said that Roe v. Wade was established precedents. Five said they would never undermine established precedent. It is unconscionable what this decision will do to the American people. I do not think that 50% of America should be told that they have to put their bodies at risk of life or death without their consent. It is barbaric. It is inhumane. It is unacceptable. And I hope every human being in this country understands that when you take away a woman's right to make her decisions about her health and well-being, she is no longer a full citizen. She no longer has freedom. She no longer has bodily autonomy. She no longer has basic civil rights or civil liberties. That is what this decision would do in America today. Make no mistake, equal rights, constitutional rights to privacy, the ability to make your own decisions about your own life and your own death are on the ballot in November. I hope there is no one who's confused about this. It may happen to your daughter. It may happen to your wife. It may happen to your mother. It may happen to your transgender friend. It may happen to anyone, and it is not acceptable. This is a life or death moment, and we need to fight like it is.
She's absolutely right, and she is righteous in her fury. And the sad thing is, it does not matter to Sammy Bad Breath. It does not matter to Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas. It doesn't matter to Ann's boy Neil. It doesn't matter to Brat Kavanaugh. And it damn sure doesn't matter to that handmaid. They do not care how many they kill. They're eager for it. Interesting, however, because they always cite, as I said, they can't, there is no argument against a woman's right to choose, a woman's rights over her own body. There is no argument they make that isn't based in some kind of religious bagumbo. And yet, the Bible that they thump but do not read actually has something to say about abortion. And it's pretty unequivocal. Listen along. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say unto them, if a man's wife goes astray..." Oh, God. Bronze Age patriarchy. Here we go. Well, it's not here we go. Here we are. I mean, we talked about that last week, the degree to which the Bronze Age still controls us now. You know, a lot of interesting things happened in the Bronze Age. All the events that are described, and there's probably some kernel of truth to it, but all the events that are described in the Iliad and the Odyssey, that's the Bronze Age. Several of the tremendous dynasties of ancient Egypt, the land of Khem, that's the Bronze Age. In fact, there was a great deal of warfare and consternation when the Hittites descended upon ancient Egypt, because the Hittites had this newfangled stuff called iron, and bronze just didn't have a chance against it, and that's the beginning of the Iron Age. But never mind. The brilliant Minoan civilization that rose up in the Mediterranean. Bronze Age. Mycenae. Bronze Age. The Philistines, extremely cultured, vilified in the Bible, Bronze Age. And then there were people who were desert dwellers, nomadic peoples. And they are said to have come out of Ur of the Chaldees. And so during the wanderings about in the desert, then the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, if a man's wife goes astray and is unfaithful to him, so that another man has sexual relations with her, and this is hidden from her husband, and her impurity is undetected, since there is no witness against her, and she has not been caught in the act, and if feelings of jealousy come over her husband..." Because this is always about the delicacy of the male feeling. "And he suspects his wife, and she is impure, or if he is jealous and suspects her, even though she is not impure..." So she can be innocent, but it's still about his fifis. "Then he is to take his wife to the priest..." This isn't going to end well. "He must also take an offering of a tenth of an ephah of barley flour on her behalf. He must not pour olive oil on it or put incense on it, because it is a grain offering for jealousy, a reminder offering to draw attention to wrongdoing." Because, you know, the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky, you have to draw his attention to things. "Yo, got some barley flour down here. There's no olive oil on it or anything. No incense either. We don't want to confuse you. You're apparently easily confused." "The priest shall bring her and have her stand before the Lord. Then he shall take some holy water in a clay jar and put some dust from the tabernacle floor into the water." Oh, this is going to be good. Imagine how filthy the tabernacle floor was. When we get further down in here and you find out why we're doing all this, you're going, "Oh, gross." "After the priest has had the woman stand before the Lord, he," the priest, "shall loosen her hair." She is not even free to loosen her own hair. "And place in her hands the reminder offering, the grain offering for jealousy, while he himself holds the bitter water that brings a curse." Good God, is this a scene from fucking Dune? You know, where Paul Atreides drinks the worm water or whatever. Don't know why she has to loosen her hair, but then again, they were fascinated, and so many religions are fascinated with hair. Women's hair. And to a certain extent, the hair on the dudes. Because, you know, you got to grow your beard down to your goddamn belly button or God won't be sure you're a dude. Then the priest shall put the woman under oath and say to her, if no other man has had sexual relations with you and you have not gone astray and become impure while married to your husband, may this bitter water that brings a curse not harm you. So the priest is doing witchcraft. This is witchcraft. But if you have gone astray while married to your husband, remember, there's no proof of anything. This is all just based on husband dude's paranoia. But if you have gone astray while married to your husband and you have made yourself impure by having sexual relations with a man other than your husband, here the priest is to put the woman under this curse. Quote, may the Lord cause you to become accursed among your people when he makes your womb miscarry and your abdomen swell. So God is going to murder, because that's the language the fetus fetishists like to use. God is going to murder the baby in the womb. God is going to visit the woman's infidelity upon the child. I guess all those Republicans who bark and grunt and hoot about how it ain't the precious fetus's fault that it was made from a rape or her daddy a rutting on her like Mayella Yule. Well, apparently back in the Old Testament, God didn't feel that way. Because he's telling Moses all of this homicidal bullshit. So that your abdomen swells or your womb miscarries, then the woman is to say, amen, so be it. What if she don't wanna? Well, see, that's the thing. Under a patriarchy, she doesn't get to say, I don't wanna. Because if she says, I don't wanna, they'll take her outside the city gates, rape the living life out of her, and then stone her to death. Because civilization. So, assuming that she doesn't want to be raped to death and stoned, she says, amen, so be it. The priest is to write these curses on a scroll and then wash them off into the bitter water. Okay, so the holy water already has floor scrapings on it. And now, with God only knows what they're making ink out of, he scrapes the ink into the already polluted water. He shall make the woman drink the bitter water that brings a curse, and this water that brings a curse and causes bitter suffering will enter her. If she weighs the same as a duck, she's made of wood, and therefore a witch! A witch! He shall make the woman drink the bitter water that brings a curse, and this water that brings a curse and causes bitter suffering will enter her. The priest is to take from her hands the grain offering for jealousy, wave it before the Lord, and bring it to the altar. No, over here! Look! The grain! Follow the grain! What, are you nearsighted? The priest is then to take a handful of the grain offering as a memorial offering and burn it on the altar. After that, he's to have the woman drink the water. If she has made herself impure and been unfaithful to her husband, this will be the result. When she is made to drink the water that brings a curse and causes bitter suffering, it will enter her, her abdomen will swell, and her womb will miscarry, and she will become a curse. Well, apparently, these old assholes had figured out the perfect recipe to make a woman suffer. I'm guessing there weren't a lot of women who drank the toxic water and didn't suffer, therefore, all women are whores. If, however, the woman has not made herself impure but is clean, she will be cleared of guilt and will be able to have children. Is there anything in here about the asshole husband? Does he get taken outside the city gates and at least get a rock thrown at him for being an asshole? Or falsely accusing his wife, for whom this passage tells us he has no evidence of her infidelity or impurity? Apparently not. This then is the law of jealousy. When a woman goes astray and makes herself impure while married to her husband, or when feelings of jealousy come over a man because he suspects his wife, the priest is to have her stand before the Lord and is to apply this entire law to her. The husband will be innocent of any wrongdoing, including falsely accusing his wife. But the women will bear the consequences of her sin. Wow. Who knew? Who knew God was in the abortion business? The forced abortion business. The compulsory abortion business. You suppose these good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Republicans have ever read that passage? I'm guessing no. 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 But, you know, if God does it, it must be okay. Because, you know, God. Lee in New York asks, women will not be full citizens? Sounds familiar. Without Roe, women are not full citizens. Just wondering, how much of a citizen are they? 3/5? Making a frightening point with math. No, actually, I kind of touched on this yesterday, Lee. I think they're 2/5 of a human being. Because the reason that they were counting 3/5 of the enslaved population for purposes of apportionment is that, I don't know, maybe they were saying that 3/5 of the enslaved population was male. So to continue with your inquiry, I think the answer is 2/5, but although I'm not very good with fractions. Subject line, barricades. Matt in San Francisco says, I don't know about everyone else, but I'm ready to meet up at the barricades. How's everyone else feeling? Damn right. Damn right. Ron in Raleigh says, isn't that in the book of Numbers? Some believe those verses do not refer to abortion. Different translations depending on the theological tradition, but if it's talking about impurity and her abdomen swelling and her womb miscarrying, I mean, yeah, but the point is, these people of deep and abiding faith cherry-picked the hell out of their holy book. They'd be more than happy, I guess, you know, if everything is perfect and fully accomplished in that, then by God, I guess it's okay for teenage girls to get their daddies drunk and go to humpity-humping away on them. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. Follow the shoe, says Ralphs. Or maybe it was follow the gourd. Oh, you're the Messiah, all right. I should know. I've followed a few. It's a pity that life is imitating art in that sense. By the way, going back to Carol Tobias, the self-hating woman who runs National Right to Life Committee. Brother Deacon Asa says, self-hating? She's laughing all the way to the bank. Ms. Carol being the head of National Right to Life is the functional equivalent of you taking over for the Hannity job. Well, that's a double dose of nausea. I think my abdomen's beginning to swell. Isn't it a Shakespeare quotation? Randy Radar asks, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. I don't know. Sounds kind of biblical, too. But then again, all that frilly Elizabethan English just sort of runs together after a while. You know, it's funny. It was a few years ago that there was a survey out, and they asked Christians, Where does the phrase "from each according to his means to each according to his needs" come from? And the Christians went, "The Bible." Shh. Communist Manifesto. You know, Marx and Engels. Right. Yeah. And something that I did want to also mention, because we haven't used this phrase in a few days. Hey, y'all, they're going to do it again. And, yeah, isn't it interesting that the January 6th insurrection has suddenly taken a back seat to this leaked hell folio from the sick and twisted minds of the Ivy League legal educated clerks of Sammy Bad Breath. Because it kind of has. Oh, and by the way, further analysis of the potential identity of the leaker. A little something something out there. It was April the 26th, well before the leak, when lo and behold, the Wall Street Journal published an op-ed that actually contained a pre-leak. In that April 26th op-ed, they wrote that the Chief Justice was trying to persuade one of the court's other right-wing maniacs to join him in a slightly, somewhat, moderately less toxic opinion, and reduce the gang seeking the full overturn of Roe v. Wade and Casey to a mere 4, meaning Roberts, that justice, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Breyer would be the majority. And they did that on April 26th, well before this document was leaked. They did that in hopes of keeping the Chief Justice from being successful. Well, that would not be a leak coming from a liberal justice, because those three, that minority of three, tries to work behind the scenes to soften the blow. And there's no reason, there's no strategy in leaking Sammy Bad Breath's opinion. In fact, in the April 26th op-ed, the Wall Street Journal wrote, "If Roberts pulls another justice to his side, he could write the plurality opinion that controls in a 6-3 decision. If he can't, then Justice Thomas would assign the opinion, and the vote could be 5-4. Our guess is that Justice Alito would then get the assignment. Our guess." That was April 26th, and the Alito opinion, draft opinion, had been out since February 10th. Anybody want to tell me that a liberal, Ketanji Brown Jackson, that a liberal leaked this opinion? God, they're fucking stupid. No, they're not. They are. But they're deliberately trying to obfuscate the source of the leak. This is a right-wing leak to make sure that this opinion goes into effect. As Jonathan Chait said on MSNBC today, if a bank employee stole a small amount of money from the safe and then a few days later there was a huge robbery from the same safe, who would be your first suspect? So somebody at the Wall Street Journal has a direct line into the right wing of the Supreme Court. And the Wall Street Journal, owned, of course, by Rupert Murdoch, is working hammer and tongs against every woman in America. But y'all, they're going to do it again. And what I mean by that is that after the hearing, the fact-finding, the evidentiary hearing and whatnot, an administrative law judge by the name of Charles Boudreaux Jr. has recommended that perjury trailer queen, Q-Ball, should be allowed to remain on the ballot for the upcoming Georgia primary. His recommendation then goes to Brad Raffensperger, who makes the final call as to whether perjury trailer queen Q-Ball remains qualified to run for re-election. This after the suit to try to decertify her for having participated in the insurrection of January 6th. Y'all, they're gonna do it again. Lady B just heard the Bible verse. You're talking about the biblical way to punish a woman for being impure? Why in God's name wouldn't a man sleeping with a married woman also be punished? Why wouldn't a married man sleeping with a married woman also be punished? And all this shit about mixing the grain with the water, etc., what the fuck? It's witchcraft, Lady B. I mean, it's just a, you know, Eye of Newt and Ward of Toad. Lady B says, if the religious fundamentalists believe the Bible is the literal word of God, they'd live in shacks with dirt floors. The men would dress in gowns. They wouldn't have cars, cell phones, or television. They wouldn't wear glasses or hearing aids because that's not how Jesus lived. Jesus didn't live with modern technology and medicine, so why the fuck should they? This shit, that shit is just dumb. Jews don't eat shellfish because back when nobody knew what caused red tides and people died, someone decided to tell them God told them not to eat them. Now it's treated like some actual edict from God when really it was just about eating something that at the time and with their limited knowledge would kill them. And, you know, anthropologists have posited the same answer with regard to pork. Trichinosis caused by ingestion of a trichina worm is a horrible way to die. And so maybe the best way to keep your population from being decimated by trichinosis, because back then they didn't have any science or understand why it rained, or there was just so much shit they didn't know in the Bronze Age. They thought the dinosaur bones that they ran across every now and then were the bones of a race of former giants on the earth. The Greeks were pretty sure. Well, that's actually where the Greeks probably got their notion of, what were they called? The Titans? You know, Kronos, who ate his own children. Yeah, that's where that probably came from. Lady B says, my sister is a Messianic Jew, and she swears by all that shit. It drives the family nuts, because we all know she likes to skirt her beliefs when she wants us to buy her a lotto ticket because she can't do it because it's the Sabbath. She also allows herself to watch TV until sundown Saturday evening instead of reading her Bible. Why are we still being held hostage to the way shit was thousands of years ago? For fuck's sake, people, believe what you want, but stop trying to force the fucking world to behave as you do. I know, obvious, one might think, but not to this lot. They are so weak in their belief and so weak in their faith and so fearful that the only way they can bolster their own is by making everybody else believe as they do and then gooning on people who get it wrong themselves, thereby preventing themselves from being taken outside the city gates and getting stoned, and not in a good way. And not at 420. So, yeah. And by the way, speaking of barricades, Darlene in Connecticut asks, when are Republicans going to decry the barricades around the SCOTUS like they did about the barricades around the Capitol in the wake of January 6th? Why can none of us tour the Supreme Court building now? They're separating the people from their government buildings. Those barricades are unnecessary. Yes, they are unnecessary. Maybe. You've always got to take into account, Darlene, the fact that those barricades are going up, and they went up around the Capitol, and they went up around the White House, not because of a bunch of sissy liberals, but because of the obvious violence of the right wing. But yeah, I saw those barricades going unclimbable. Oh, God. Unclimbable, unscalable, I think was the unscalable barricades. Who's trying to climb them? It ain't the liberals. Hey, thank you, Jim, out in Washington State. Thank you so much. Jim just met Ralph's $25 challenge. And that means we are now down to 1360. 1360 to finish funding for the week. That means that $160 remains to fully fund last Monday. Thank you, Jim. Thank you so much. It's great to hear from you. I disagree, says Steve in New York. They aren't stupid. They're brilliant. I also think the reason they put this out is to lessen its impact and make it as close to a non-story and old news when it actually does come out. It's possible. You know, maybe we'll have something new to occupy the myopic gaze of the multi-billionaire for-profit media. It's always possible. But I really do, the purpose it served was to harden up what I think the Wall Street Journal already knew was going on. Because now, if any of those five waver, they will be forever despised, loathed by the maggots and the white wing. They will call them that. They will call that justice the second coming of David Souter. Remember David Souter, appointed by George H.W. Bush, who then turned around and actually behaved like a human being once in a while. That, of course, that was back when his chief justice was that junkie, William Rehnquist. And I will reiterate, we should probably revisit every opinion on which Rehnquist was a was in the majority, because it may have been, well, it most assuredly was, deeply under the influence of fucking opioids. Shouldn't we? You think? I think. And so with the first hour over, and that's pretty much the filler obster. Like I said, we got $1,360 to go for a community made miracle. And I hope we can get there. You know, the reason we're here is because we had to finish April in May, and it really does put us behind the eight ball. Thanks to everybody getting us started. Subject line, interpretation of the Bible. Stephen New York says, this is the precise reason why it is wrong to read the Bible as if God wrote it. The Bible is a series of reflections on the societies where they found themselves. There are historical elements, but that's not its primary purpose. For instance, there is a rabbinical school of thought, not outside the mainstream at all, that the Abraham-Isaac story was an admonition parable against the common practice of child sacrifice among Canaanites at the time. Yeah. Well, I've long said, and maybe I'm in line with that not out of the mainstream thinking, that the people who come down to us as, you know, the patriarchs, you know, the heroes of days of old, you know, your Abrahams, your Isaacs, your Jacobs, your Lots, that those are actually cautionary tales of don't do like this guy. I mean, what else can you say about Abraham going down into Egypt and pimping out Sarah, his own wife? It's there in the Bible. Pimped out his own wife to Pharaoh. No, that's not my wife, my dude. That's my sister. Oh, you want to bang her? Yeah, she is kind of hot, isn't she? Well, bang away, my Pharaoh. And then the plagues descend on Egypt. Poor old Egypt. The plagues descend, and Pharaoh calls his priests and his wise men in, and they're like, Pharaoh, dude, you are banging that dude's wife. It's not his sister. Not his sister? Not his sister. Fuck. No wonder there's a plague. Get him. The nerve of you. That's your wife. I never would have slept with her if I'd known she was. I'm a decent pharaoh.
Sorry. I mean, I got good money for her.
Yeah. Or the dirty little trick that Joseph plays on his nasty brothers. And if I understand correctly, you know, we talk about Joseph's coat of many colors. Joseph and the amazing Technicolor dream coat. Remember? Someone told me once that the word used that gets called a coat is actually gown or dress. Joseph, did you have a little secret? We see you, Joseph. You're valid. So, here we go. And by the way, speaking of perjury trailer queen, Q-Ball, she's now having a full-on hissy. You know, and again, she's another of those self-hating women.
Like you, I was shocked when I heard that Fox News had hired Bruce Jenner to be its newest female political contributor. We were
Bruce. Not Caitlin. Bruce. Well, dipshit, when you get around to hating me, you're going to have a hard time dead-naming me. Part of why I hung on to it. Bruce. I wouldn't pee in Bruce I wouldn't pee in Caitlin. I did it, see? I wouldn't pee in Caitlyn Jenner's mouth if her goddamn guts were on fire. I find her despicable and loathsome and, yeah, filled with internalized transphobia. I mean, really, that's what your transness means to you, Kate? That the hardest thing about being trans is picking out what to wear every day? You should meet some of your sisters. They have a lot harder questions every day. But anyway, perjury trailer queen is upset.
I remember Jenner winning Olympic gold in 1976 and from the front of the Wheaties box. But today, Jenner believes he is a woman. I'd love to know which female contributors were passed over or perhaps even made redundant to clear space for Fox's newest star transgender commentator. We will never know their names. Bruce Jenner was hired on the last day of Women's History Month, but for many of us, it felt like the last day in women's history.
Oh my God, it's the last day in women's history. Caitlyn Jenner is going to go to work spewing right-wing hate for Fox. Oh honey, I wish it was the last day of your women's history.
We've all watched open-mouthed in shock and disgust as men have taken over women's sports, robbing women and girls of their...
Robbing. Notice the use of the language, robbing. You know, that's a crime. And taken over. There are no cis women participating in sports anymore. If you see a women's basketball game or a women's volleyball game, them's all men's. You know, according to this idiot.
Their rightful accomplishments and causing near fatal injuries to real women in some contact sports. We've seen the photos of Leah Thomas's muscular frame towering over.
Wait, she called her Leah. You take your victories where you can. Towering, burgeoning. Just a little reminder that she came in dead last in her last college swim meet. In her best event, she came in last to a trans dude who is not on testosterone, was assigned female at birth, socially transitioned, and therefore can still compete in women's sports. Yeah, she stomped the piss out of Leah Thomas. Or he stomped the piss out of Leah. Sometimes it's difficult. I make mistakes, too. He stomped the piss out of Leah Thomas. And, of course, Leah Thomas's own time in that swim meet that's getting all the attention, the NCAA championships, her time was almost 9 full seconds off of the record set by the cisgender woman. But perjury trailer queen, being a born and pathological liar, will not tell the barking and grunting morons who take her words for gospel any of that, because it might make them think. And the last thing perjury trailer queen cue ball needs is for the mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing freaks who think she's a brilliant politician to start thinking.
For his female competitors, we've watched wondering how this can possibly be our America as drag queens and transsexuals parade around the halls of supposedly conservative political action conferences as transsexuals.
It's just a jump to the left and then a step to the right. Put your hands on your hips and pull your knees in tight and do the pelvic thrust until it drives you insane.
Sexuals force their way into our daughter's locker room.
Forcing!
And as gay men...
With like battering rams, forcing into our daughter's...
men with cross-dressing fetishes have hosted Drag Queen Story Hour for impressionable young children at our local libraries. We're expected to believe all of this is healthy and normal.
No, what's healthy and normal is making a cisgender woman or a trans man who happens to be pregnant bleed to death from an unsafe abortion. That's normal. That's healthy in perjury trailer queen's world.
An obsession with cross-dressing and gender disruption is one of the hallmarks of a civilization in rapid decline.
It says who? What, Jordan Peterson? Oh, God. Or maybe Alexander Dugan? That sounds like something that freak would say.
I believe in America, and I don't want to see it fall like the Roman Empire did.
Because the Roman Empire fell because all the guys were wearing dresses. Oops. Togas. I mean, the cute skirts that the Roman army wore, those things, honey, those were leather and they had fucking rivets in them. They were hot.
Overrun by barbarians.
And of course, because they were fighting in short leather skirts, the Roman army never won a battle. They just went mincing and prissing out onto the battlefield and got stomped by the Gauls, got stomped by the Thracians and the Dacians never mind. You get the idea.
Barbarians in a matter of months because it had forgotten how to defend itself.
Wonder who, no, of course I don't, who taught Perjury Trailer Queen her classical history, because I'm thinking that person sucks at classical history. Rome fell in a matter of months. Well, you know, Rome was said to have been founded in 753 BCE, and it remained in some form or another until May of 1453 CE. Now, we all know my ciphering sucks, but not to put too fine a point on it, 1453 plus 753, 3 and 3 is 6, 5 and 5 is 10, carry the 1, 5, 12, 2, carry the... Yeah, that's 2,206 years. And 2,206 years, I'm going out on a limb here, is a hell of a lot more than a few months. We'll take up a collection, Matt. Meet you there. The RNC, Matt in San Francisco, says, I can go to CPAC and drag. Sign me up. And Matt and his husband are absolutely beautiful. I will be looking for you there. Do a little photo bombing behind Perjury Trailer Queen, would you? Oh, no, she won't be at CPAC. She'll be at the White Nationalist America First thing, grunting about the Jews. Stephen, New York. Oh, we have such fun with these clips. Rome fell in a matter of months. She didn't say which months. Darlene in Connecticut says, wow, so men have taken over women's sports? Per Perjury Trailer Queen, they're also on the verge of taking over women's bodies with the likely overturning of Roe versus Wade. And somehow I have a feeling that doesn't bother her. The cognitive dissonance in these fools.
But you have to admit that the parallels between the corrupt and ineffectual late period of Rome and modern-day America...
Wait, Rome's period was late? Is that? But you wanted Rome's period to be late, Marjorie.
Or stark. We have allowed ourselves to become obsessed with ridiculous minutiae like transgender pronouns while our marriage and birth rates plummet.
Ah, you see, you have to pay attention for the little dog whistles. Our marriage and birth rates plummet. I wonder if maybe marriage rates plummet when, bleach blonde idiot from Northwest Georgia decides to go Humpty Humpty with the little muscle bound gym bunny that she happens to have run across working out. And shit burns calories, so I've been told. Wouldn't really know.
Our armed forces seem to care more about naming ships after gay pedophiles like Harvey Milk than ensuring our
gay pedophile. Matt, coming off the ledge, Matt. Gay pedophiles like Harvey Milk. Oh my God.
Readiness for conflict with China and Russia, and everywhere
you dumbass. And I meant to get to this. I'm sorry, I'm a little late getting to the front porch, but just some of this has to get out there. I don't know if you saw the story in the last couple of days, but the White House quietly confirmed that we had sort of kind of helped Ukraine with a little bit of data here and there that made it possible for them to track and target and blow to kingdom come. A bunch of Russian generals and provide a moving underwater ceremony for the Moskva. Yeah, not ready to take on the Russians? Really? We don't even have any fighting personnel over there and we're helping them sink ships. Their ships. The Russian ships that make a larger but similar sound to back when I used to play golf and there'd be a water hazard in front of me, and I would hit it. I would hit the golf ball and just stand there and wait for a minute until I heard that telltale floop. Floop, said the Mosca. Poor damn fool. Randy Radar says, in the 1200 CE, Rome wasn't exactly Rome-centric now, was it? Constantinople considered itself Rome. The senators of Constantinople considered themselves Roman senators. Rome was not the city. Rome was the entity. And in fact, when Mehmet II, in May of 1453, finally overran Constantinople, he immediately declared himself the Kaiser at Rum. He saw himself as every bit as Roman because he was ruling Rome. Lee in New York says, plunging marriage rates. Says Lee, I'm not getting married enough. Did it only once. Still making it as best as possible. Signed Lee, still married in New York City. I think Perjury Trailer Queen's tried it at least twice, hasn't she? And then there's her... her girl enemy, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley, who isn't exactly a paragon of, well, let's just say it wouldn't go so well with either one of these women with the bitter water, the floor sweepings, and the ink scrapings. Jesus. But do go on. PTQ.
Look, the signs of decadence and decay are consuming our once great institutions. The American university as a center of learning is a thing of the past.
Really? Does that apply to Harvard and Yale, where, say, Sammy Bad Breath's clerks come from? PTQ? Q-ball? Now, let's remember... And I'm sorry, my humble apologies to anyone who matriculated at Athens. But let's remember that this woman allegedly has a degree from the University of Georgia back when, I guess, universities didn't suck. I'm still trying to figure out what the official line of demarcation is for the suckitude. But go on.
American media has cast off its responsibility as truth teller, perverting the free press in favor of conjuring up new heresies like white supremacy and transphobia.
Those are new heresies, white supremacy. So what she's saying there, if you're paying attention to the fucking dog whistles, is that white supremacy is okay. She's all for it. Because it's a new heresy. So if it's new, it must be of fairly recent vintage. And if it's a heresy, then that means it is a violation of received religious teaching, which in turn means that it used to not be a heresy and was in fact a good thing. Once again, I find myself wanting to go to the 14th Congressional District of Georgia. No, I really don't. And just knock on doors and what the fuck were you thinking? Well, me and Marveline, we got family values is what we was thinking, and she's got family values, sure she does. I mean, have you seen the family she made with that little gym bunny? I gotta catch Marveline before she can get out the front door every time the picture of them two come on.
All the while, the humble and wholesome values of ordinary working families and the traditional roles and responsibilities of men and women.
You know, white men and women and traditional working families, meaning white working families and white working families that aren't, you know, don't have any of the gay or the trans about them or the, you know, black or Latinx or Asian or traditional Americans. And?
Of mothers and fathers have become subverted and mocked by the elite classes. Mom and dad have been replaced by Chastin and Pete Buttigieg and their designer babies. Our society is...
Wait. Designer babies? We're never going to get through this clip, are we? It's just too fertile a field not to harvest at all. Designer babies? I mean, what, is the Louis Vuitton logo branded into the heel of their kid? Or is it Gucci or Dior? Hugo Boss? Personally, I'm a Chanel girl.
Sick. And the symptoms are easy to see. Women are murdering and mutilating their own babies through the twin horrors of abortion and transgenderism without so much...
Transgenderism. You know, it's a religious dogma. I go to trans church every Sunday, and the first thing we do is the time warp. Murdering their babies through abortion and transgenderism. Oh, well, they're not murdering their babies through transgender. They're mutilating. Even though babies can't have transgender surgery? Whew. Yep, PTQ. Stephen New York says, she's got family values for all three of the families of her families.
Much as a whisper of protest from conservatives who aren't brave enough to step in and stop it. As ever, our children are the victims. America can be rightly proud of its record on women's rights. There is no country in the world I would rather live in as a woman.
There are lots of countries that the rest of us would prefer you live in as a woman. I'm thinking Iran. Or maybe Oh, no. No, 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 no. Iran is far, far too enlightened. I'm thinking she would love Saudi Arabia. Because, by God, they know a woman's place. America's tremendous record on women's rights, really? We're not even going to make it to 50 years of women's bodily autonomy. A woman's right to vote is just barely a century old. Married Women's Property Acts are products of the 1870s. She wants to talk about getting obsessed with pronouns. How about the fact that she and her do not exist in the Constitution of the United States? Or any reference to any femininity whatsoever? Darlene in Connecticut caught that designer baby. Pete and Chasten's designer babies? What, PTQ? Should Pete and Chasten have aborted them? There's no satisfying some people. Lord, I know. Designer babies.
Success in business and election to Congress is a testament to the progress women have made in this nation. And yet Joe Biden wants to undo all of it.
All of it.
In the coming weeks, his Department of Education is expected to make changes to Title IX that will effectively end women's sports, guaranteeing that any biological male who wishes to compete against young girls will be allowed to do so. We cannot allow women's progress to be undone by...
Now, okay, see, here's the problem. You know, they like to talk about biology. There's not a single human sense that can sense biology. There's not a single sense that can sense a chromosome. And I don't want to make anybody feel all squirmy or uncomfortable or anything, but if you want to throw around that bio thing, I get to call myself a biological woman. You know why? The puberty that I'm going through is causing some decidedly female things to happen to my body. And the things that they're causing to happen to my body are most decidedly not cybernetic. They are not a product of nanotechnology. I didn't have to plug up to some goddamn charger from Elon Musk to have it happen. It's pure biology, PTQ. Female biology. Fucking idiots.
Bad actors wearing the shallow mask of diversity and inclusion. And we cannot be deterred by disingenuous claims of hate and intolerance.
Disingenuous claims. Honey, there's nothing. You hate people like me. You hate the entirety of the LGBTQQIA+ community. And it is not disingenuous or transparent or thinly veiled to point that out. You attacked one of your colleagues in Congress for having a transgender daughter. You would hurt that child if you could, you sick monster. You would force that child back into the closet. God alone, I don't know, electric shock perhaps, Marjorie? Beat some masculinity into them. Women's inequality. Lee in New York says, look at the slow gains. 1974, the Fair Credit Opportunity Act. It took 16 years before women were finally granted the legal right to open a credit card in their own name. Even if women managed to get a credit product, the amount they could borrow from a credit card or loan was often smaller than a man would get with the same credit and financial profile. I saw an old, old photo of a group of women from my hometown And as a sort of public service and something fun for them to do back in, 1969, they gathered together and they called themselves the Mother Singers. And they were the mothers of a lot of the kids that I grew up with. And I noticed that the caption at the time referred to Miss, and it's kind of like, you know, in The Handmaid's Tale, of fucknuts. Every woman was referred to not by her own name, but by, you know, Mrs. Dick Smith. She was not even allowed to have her own first name. And it still happens in some weddings. At the end of the vows, the happy couple turns around and you know, or at the reception or whatever. I now present to you Mr. and Mrs. John Smith. You know, Steve disagrees. Steve in New York's kind of feeling in a disagreeing mood this evening. I disagree. She would not force that trans girl back into the closet. She'd force her into a coffin. That is a distinction with a definite difference, and I've been convinced, and I think you're right. She would love, well, Perjury Trailer Queen would like to see us all dead. And you know it does. It takes a bit of an existential toll dealing with that hatred every day. But you know what the beauty of it is? Not of her conduct, but it is assuaged by the knowledge that for the first time in a half a century, I'm me. It's hard. It's a lot of work. But good God, I'm me. Just me. And whatever is difficult about this is far outweighed by the joy. And it is a joy I can scarcely describe. So, you know, fuck her. And I know that's an uncharitable phrase, and, well, maybe her gym bunny enjoys it, but I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. What a horrible person she is. What a Charles the Bad for the 21st century. Pity all those deities are fresh out of lightning bolts. But, Lord, I've gone way too far. We got a half a program left, so let's at least get the conversation started. I hope. And again, with half the program to go and a Friday on the Front Porch community made miracle seeming rather a long way away, we are at $1,360 to go to fully fund this program, this little effort, this little exercise in independent broadcasting. Now let's go over and check in with Roger. Can you hear me, Roger? You're muted right now. Well, maybe in a minute. This is one of those.
Okay, am I here now?
You're here now. Yay. Can you hear me?
Yep, I got you. I had the head-on live feed going, and they're not in sync, and so I had to shut off the head-on live feed, and then Skype muted me again, and anyhow.
Okay.
I think I've got it straightened out.
Well, I wanted to make sure that you could actually hear me, because when Todd called last night, I brought him in on the iPad, too, and he couldn't hear me, so it's good to know.
Yeah, I had your audio in before you called my name. So, I mean, I was hearing you. It was
okay, good
confusing
deal.
Confusing when one thing's about 3 seconds behind the other one and garbage.
No, so that'll make you feel like you're losing your mind.
Yeah, I'm waiting for you regarding those soundtracks you were playing just before we started the call. I'm waiting for you to enter the Women's Olympic Diving Championships or the track and field.
I think I'm a little too. I think I'm a little too old.
Well, you're just experienced. I mean, you could probably pull it off.
I ain't pulling anything off, Roger. That was a joke. Are you talking? Are you talking about Marjorie Perjury Trailer Queens clip? Well, there went the call. Well, this will be interesting. Thank you, Arthur, for jumping in. We are now down to $1,355. Thank you, Arthur. We'll see if we can get reconnected here. Okay.
Robert, back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Oh, and now we have the echo coming.
It'll settle down in a minute, I think. Using a different device.
Would be nice. Okay. Again, getting back to your thing about the clips that you were playing. Wasn't it Trump that kind of barged his way into a female locker room in Moscow at a Miss Teen Universe contest?
Dressing room.
It was the dressing room of Miss Universe was one of them. But yeah, I think there was one where he barged in and they were considerably younger.
Yeah, 15-year-olds at the Miss Universe. Yeah. Kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the keys.
Watch out for Republican power brokers much more than potential trans people either one way or the other.
Well, you know, drag queen story hour, and which is, you know, and see, that's the other thing. She equates drag queens with transgender people and cross-dressers with transgender people, and they are three entirely separate and distinct groups of people. One, but you know, there's not a hell of a lot of stories out there about trans people doing bad things in bathrooms, but there's plenty of stories about cisgender men doing bad things to children. Lots of stories every day. And a lot of those are Republicans. Remember, Nitwit Nero, like we talked about yesterday, Nitwit Nero is actively campaigning for a guy who groped, who credibly is accused of having groped a Republican woman senator in the state of Nebraska. I think it's a safe bet that the Herbster is not a drag queen, a cross dresser, or a, let's see, PTQ used, transsexual.
Yeah, but he does love himself some Jeebus. I'm sure of that.
Oh, he loves him some Jeebus.
Well, and then we've got the guy somewhere in the Midwest who's in jail for murdering his wife right after she finished her chemotherapy for cancer.
Right.
And he just won his primary contest.
Yeah, because family values, right?
I believe he was endorsed by Trump.
I have no doubt. Let me check. That was pretty high on the list.
But yeah, family values. Matt, God, we got to have family values.
Hey, you know what you guys were forgetting about the 15-year-olds Trump was barging in on? They're not fetuses.
Oh, yeah.
But now, to be fair, though, let's do remember, Steve, that when Tiffania was just a little bitty, like, baby, post-birth, but a baby, he did an interview in which he speculated on the size her breasts would be.
I sure hope she gets a great rack like her. I mean, look at her mother.
Anybody remember that?
You know what just occurred to me, too? We had the National Right to Life lady say that a fertilized egg is a born baby anyway. So same thing, clearly. So I stand corrected. Sorry.
I mean, my God. That thing, what I started the
program with. I've thoroughly enjoyed some of the posts on Facebook.
Such as?
I've thoroughly enjoyed some of the posts on Facebook showing fetuses and things about. Yeah, one of the other ones an elephant. Going weird here.
Yeah, your audio is dropping out periodically, Roger.
Did anyone see that there was a Sam Cedar showed it? There was a guy who debated Charlie Kirk about the abortion issue, and he showed him a picture of a fetus, and he said, "Do you think this deserves the same human rights as a born child?" And the guy says, "Absolutely." And he says, "Well, this is a picture of a dolphin fetus."
I love moments like that.
Yeah. And he was like, look, Robin, I've thought a lot about it. I don't understand. I'm sorry to be that way. Maybe I'm obtuse. The whole thing just baffles me.
No, you're probably overthinking it, Steve. This is one of those Occam's razor kind of things. They are filled with hate. And it is because of their hate that they need more people to hurt. I mean, this is institutional shared psychopathy.
And I think I sent you this email. Sometimes I don't even remember. And maybe you read it, I just didn't hear. And maybe I just haven't heard the question asked. But the one thing I don't hear any of these people say, all we hear is about the unborn Kierans and the fetus. And I'm thinking, and how many unborn babies have been killed and how many are going to be saved? And I think, no, I haven't heard one question about to say to these people. How many women are going to die? Have I missed that?
No.
Well, because they don't care. They want women to die. You know, all in amongst all this hooting and barking and grunting, there's nary a mention of the fact that the United States is woefully behind and has a horrifying maternal mortality rate among so-called developed countries. We get a little less developed every day. You know, who wants... I presume that she is still fertile. Who here thinks that Perjury Trailer Queen isn't still using some form of birth control?
I guarantee you she is.
I mean, she's been going around unpregnant for a long damn time. How many abortions you think she's had?
Probably 20.
I mean, for somebody who despises a woman's right to choose, well, she sure has been not pregnant a lot.
You know, the one thing that baffles me about this whole entire thing about Roe versus Wade being reversed by the Supreme Court is the fact that in the 1970s, it was passed by Republicans. Republican judges.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I was actually really, really proud. I played that clip at the beginning of the program of Senator Kirsten Gillibrand in her righteous fury, absolutely calling out, and she said five justices of the Supreme Court have perjured themselves, lied to Congress. I'm glad she said it out loud. Maybe that moves the needle a little further toward holding hearings. Yeah, it's like when I was talking with Todd and Jude last night. Jude has two Democratic senators, Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell. Women and people who care about women and care about women's rights need to be inundating their offices with demands that those two senators demand hearings of Patrick Leahy of Vermont, the chairman of the Senate Committee on the Judiciary. Put Susan Collins under oath. Put Lisa Murkowski under oath. Put Joe Manchin under oath. And make them testify about the lies that Brett Kavanaugh and the handmaid told them.
What I don't seem to understand is why did they push the public hearings back to June? I was sure that they were going to start them in May. And now
are you talking about? Well, I mean, that's January 6th. That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about hearings in the Senate Committee on the Judiciary, specifically to investigate the fact that there are perjurers sitting on the Supreme Court of the United States.
Oh, yeah, that's evident right there.
And then once you've gathered that evidence, guess what? Supreme Court justices are still citizens, and they do not enjoy immunity from things like subpoenas.
Yep.
A congressional subpoena would have to be honored or risk whatever shreds, whatever molecules of integrity that court has left. And by God, there ain't much.
Nope. They've lost all integrity.
Do they have... Do they have micro scales that can weigh things that minuscule?
Yeah, I think it would require an scanning electron microscope, Scott. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, lying to Congress is a crime. If and oh God, I hate even going here. Jesus. If the Senate Committee on the Judiciary made a finding that those three, at least, had lied to them and then made a reference to the Department of Justice, the Department of Justice could actually indict those three. And, of course, that would cause a shitstorm because that would be Merrick Garland.
Well, he's only doing it because he's bitter because he ain't on the court.
I hate being able to look out. I mean, you know, it's not magic. It's not prophecy or anything. It's just being able to see a couple of moves out on the chessboard.
Well, not only do we have justices on the Supreme Court that are liars under oath, but we've also got a justice on the Supreme Court that's refusing to resign, and he needs to after his wife's involvement with January 6th.
Yeah. And that now, as far as January 6th is concerned, a reference from the committee to the Attorney General might be efficacious there as well.
Unbelievable.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Scott.
Guess where I am?
She turns and slowly looks over her shoulder.
No, I'm not quite that close. I'm outdoors.
Yes?
I'm standing at the entrance to the haircut place.
Oh, my.
I'm about 20 minutes away from having the deed done. It's a lovely blue sky day here in San Diego. I'm saying it's about 71 degrees. Pony rides are commencing soon. Bring the kids, hot dogs,
balloons,
pop, balloons. But anyway, if I go suddenly, that's where
I'm. Records from the cutout bin.
Yeah, yeah.
With that little hole punched in the corner of the album cover.
Yeah, isn't that like an organized crime thing? Wasn't there a big scandal in the late 80s or 70s where there were certain types of... Certain types, you know, and I don't mean Susan Collins.
Now you gave me hell for my Susan Collins deal. Don't you start.
All right, well, give me hell if you want. No, I'm just saying that I believe there was a big scandal with the record companies and the retail places and certain organized entities with records that were like nowhere dog records, but the establishment had to buy a certain number of all titles. And you can look it up. It was a nasty thing. I think people died. There were like,
I know there was another similar scandal with regard to remaindered books.
Oh yeah, yeah. But anyway, I'm gonna probably pop out for a moment. I'll listen because you never know when your name will be called.
Well, enjoy your shearing.
The roll will soon be called in yonder,
out yonder, over yonder.
And then I'll post a before and an after photo.
Over there, over there.
Over there.
Tell the world over there they're cutting hair.
Yeah. I tell you, it's almost like being at the state fair. There are a lot of people who have gone for a long while without getting... You know, it's been over 2 years. It was 2 years in March. So we're approaching 2.5 years. And I couldn't stand it anymore. I said, screw it. Screw it.
With the exception of a little bit of a trim, just to take out some dead ends, I have not had a haircut since October 5th, 2019.
Well, there you go. I mean, and the other thing, too, what really got me across the edge was, you know, when you get on the bus, a public bus, there can be anybody on there, and the school kids in the back, either late in the afternoon when school's out, from the back I hear, cha-cha-cha-cha-chia. And I'm thinking, well, God damn, do I need this? Do I need this indeed? And I don't. And there's no key in my back to make the hair come out or make the hair go in. So I've come to this place. And she said, what brings you here today? I said, what? Scaring children, horses, and women in the street is not enough? Ba-dum-bum. But anyway, she said, I'm like 20 minutes away. So that's all I got for now.
Well, enjoy. Like I said, enjoy your shearing, and I hope they do a good job of it. And
well, they do. And the best part is,
are you doing the whole shaving a haircut two bits part of business?
No, I'm getting a shampoo and a haircut. But the way they do the shampoos here, it's just absolutely. It's almost sensuous.
It is nice. It's very nice. You lean your head back in the sink, and they get the water just the right temperature. And...
Oh, yeah. But who was that cartoon dog that wanted the dog biscuit and he would float up in the air? We figured that out once, and I've since forgotten. Muggles, something like that. Anyway, that's how I am when they start working on my hair that way. Oh, my glasses are fogging up. I got to go.
Okay. Anybody? Bueller?
I'm sorry. I thought I killed the feed or rapture had happened.
I guess.
Well, I mean, the rapture could happen, and I'd still be sitting here, so.
Yeah, you and me both.
Does somebody think DOJ stands for Donnie Out of Jail?
Oh, that's depressing.
I think it should be D-I-N or D-I-J, Donnie in jail. As it is getting a little ridiculous, it's like, how much more can this idiot do before they put the little bracelets on him?
I know. Who am I talking to, by the way?
T.W.
Oh, okay. You were just showing up as, guest or something.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and Sparky's not here today. it's getting to be a little ridiculous. I mean, time you turn around, he's out doing another
thing.
Kiss my ass rally, you know, and stuff like that.
Oh, but apparently the maggots are all upset today, and gosh, I don't hate it when that happens.
I kind of, it's kind of funny myself because it's like, yeah, nobody in their right mind, I wouldn't wait 7 hours for the Eagles to do a concert. Think I'm going to wait 7 hours for him to come in?
Yeah, I mean, same with, like me at a Buffett concert or something. But no, Nitwit Nero had a rally for Dr. Oz scheduled for this evening. Going to try to gin up some votes for Dr. Oz in the Pennsylvania primary. But for anybody on the East Coast, you know that, or certain portions of the East Coast, you know that this has been a very wet day. It started raining last night. It's rained all day. It's going to rain all night. And it's going to rain all day and all night tomorrow. I mean, we got flood warnings around here. Well, so the problem is, there's according to the National Weather Service, there's a 100% chance of rain with rain precipitation amounts between a half and three quarters of an inch possible. And you know, this was supposed to be a big to do up in Pennsylvania, Bamistan. There were going to be leading luminaries like J.D. Mandel or J.P. Vance or whatever out of Ohio. And Mr. Meth Pillow, Mike Lindell, was going to be there. The convicted and pardoned freak Dinesh D'Souza, who committed adultery on his wife.
Yep. I figured out where he got his haircut from. This is finally, you know, it's been just, you know, mind boggling. You remember Dennis the Menace back in the day, the little cartoon?
Sure.
Isn't that pretty close?
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Well, so this whole thing was taking place at Greensburg, Pennsylvania. Know where it is. And people were stomping and slopping around in absolute mucky, muddy fairgrounds.
Now they're canceling it?
Well, no, but... Because
I heard a special attraction was the ghost of Herman Cain. I don't...
Oh, really? You know,
people lined up early for that.
Photojournalist Stephen Walsh... I think his name's Stephen. Sean Walsh. Said, I've interviewed six attendees at the Trump Oz rally so far, and it's striking how little support there is for Oz. One said she'll vote for Oz, but
One said he doesn't trust Oz, but he'll hear Trump out. And four of them are anti-Oz. And eventually, well, they... from HuffPost, Daniel Marin said, I have yet to meet anyone here who's a firm supporter of Dr. Oz. In fact, there's a whole section of people that boos every time he appears on screen. Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
I wouldn't go see him either. I wouldn't go see Dr. Phil.
No, but, you know, he'll probably, well, loathsome. So somebody set up a poster and had some Sharpies and said, is Dr. Oz America first? Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4. And the idiot didn't have understand that with the fifth one, you put a slash through the first four. So there's just five strokes of a pen. No. 1, 2, 3. They put the slash through after three. They didn't figure it out either. 1, 4, 1, 7, 17, 22. And then there are three votes for fuck no. Here's hoping it's a particularly nasty primary between those Republicans.
Oh, I'm hoping the same thing. But, you know, they already kind of, you know, bit themselves in the ass with the whole, you know, we're going to do women's rights and you don't have any rights. And that's going to go over like a herd of turtles.
That's good. Herd of turtles.
So I think that's kind of going to bite them in the ass.
Well, like I said, I hope it doesn't hurt too little.
Yep. But we'll let somebody else, you know.
You know what? You yeah, let's bounce around the room. Not a lot of bouncing to do, but hey, Skeeve, you're here.
Robin, what's shaking?
Not a lot, but working on it.
Just talking classic vintage movies with my friends in the chat room, but don't ask what. It's kind of blue. It's kind of blue. We'll change the subject. But how you been?
You know, it's kind of gray and shitty here today, and it squishes everywhere you walk. But I'll be all right. You know, I'm not facing like you know, climate change is a thing. There is a 100-hour red flag warning in effect with high winds, extremely dry conditions, even as we speak in New Mexico. And right now, the largest fire in the country is burning, oddly enough, not in California, but in New Mexico.
Wow. We've been under a tornado watch since 1 o'clock, and the sun's been shining. So I don't know if the weather people just throw crap out there for clickbait or what the hell's going on. I just really don't trust forecasters anymore.
Well, I talked to Miss Terry earlier today, and she said she was awakened this morning down on the Gulf Coast by a tornado warning. And so she had to just kind of hang out and see if...
Was it wild, or was there nothing?
It was ugly and rainy.
Okay. Well, see, we've been under this watch, and the sun's been shining, so where are they getting this stuff from?
Oh, it's coming towards you, I'm sure.
South, it's coming right towards you.
Southwest and northeast. Just look off to your southwest and see what it looks like there.
And I've been looking at the radar. There's nothing popping up. And even Alexa's been going crazy, you know, trying to freak out.
You know,
trying to alarm me of the weather.
It's shitty with a chance of shitty with more shitty weather today with shitty weather tomorrow.
Well, remember, a tornado watch means conditions are favorable for a system to develop that could have tornadic activity.
Yep.
And that's possible even with the sun shining, you know, because I watch TV, so there's that. Jeremy just skedaddled.
Oh, there, no,
and he's back.
Jeremy just came back. Hey, Jeremy, thanks for jumping in, my friend. You've gotten us down to 1340. Thank you, Jeremy. It all helps if we can, you know, if we knock down that last $140, at least last Monday's fully funded. Sorry to talk about it so much, but Steve, have you had to call the guy lately?
Let's see. Trying to think. Yeah, I'm sure I have. The mail lady. This is so ironic because I'm married to a mail lady. Well, my mail lady took out the mailbox and left me a really sad note saying, I'm so sorry I took out your mailbox. And she said, you know, I can fix it for you if you want. But I know she's a single mom with a kid, so I didn't feel like dicking around with it. So, yeah, I called the guy. That was 2 days ago.
Good call.
Yeah. Pay it forward, Robin. That's how I kind of roll. Try to roll, you know.
Did you get a new mailbox, Steve, or is it
I called the guy, and he went to the Home Depot, and he just, you know, next thing I know, I was looked out, and I was $100 later. But, you know, I had a brand-new mailbox, and the poor mail carrier didn't have to come out of pocket or stress out over it. But she
Make
was
sure
kind
this
enough.
One concrete reinforced.
She was kind enough to leave
me. I thought maybe it was a semi-used mailbox.
She could have just mowed it over and said nothing, you know. She didn't. Could've she been. Left a note.
Those damn kids. Those damn neighborhood kids.
Yeah. She did a number on it, man. Just not paying attention to it. Hey, mistakes happen.
Oh, sure.
When you're delivering to 500 boxes a day, I mean, something's bound to go wrong. So she picked the right person to mow down, I guess. If it had been a maggot, they'd have raised hell, called the postmaster, and she probably would have got written up and all that shit. So.
Terrorist,
yeah. I didn't say anything. I said, look, we'll just keep this between us. Shit, but other than that, I've been doing okay. That's the last time I called the guy, which is, it seems like it's a weekly thing now, calling the guy, you know.
Well, it's because you learned.
Yeah. I got an envelope, you know, with petty cash stashed in the safe, and it just has the guy on there, because you never know when you're going to have to call him.
Oh, yeah. Shit, I got to go to the bank. The cleaners are coming Monday. I got to make sure I have cash for them. That's the only time I ever have to use cash now, ever, when the cleaning people come.
Yeah, it's really weird. Cash. I go to pay my garbage bill, and I have to take cash, because the garbage company doesn't take plastic.
What the fuck? Really?
Yeah, really.
How about checks? Do they take checks?
Yeah, they take checks, but anymore. I mean, I don't, you know. Who writes checks?
Right, they went the way of the dodo bird, and when you write one, they'll hang out there for 5 or 6 months. You know, people forget to deposit them.
Right.
I went through that with the podiatrist, and he deposited like 7 months later, and then forgot about it and tried to bill me for it. And I was like, no, sir. Your check is done cashed. No fish for you.
Ooh.
Go ahead, Jeremy. I heard him. Or was I having a mental hallucination? Could be. It's Friday. I've had a very long week.
You know, it's been emotionally heavy.
Yes. Worked one claim that had $500,000 worth of exposure and another that had $6 million worth of exposure. So that kind of shit kind of, you know, weighs on your head, man. Because you know there's people's lives out there hanging in the balance. But that's why I call the guy. So, Robin, how was your week?
Well, like I said,
some kombucha.
Yeah.
You know, just because of the nature of what we do here, the conversations we have, it's been a little rough. I mean, I remember when Nitwit Nero got inaugurated, and I felt viscerally ill and afraid for my country. I have never been more afraid for my country than I am right now, our country.
Oh, it's terrifying. And my gosh, and it takes a toss. Who knew that Roe would be hanging in the balance? Yeah, this is an awful thing to say, but sometimes you just want to tune it out to keep your sanity, because you have to concentrate.
It's not just
on your day-to-day activities, you know.
It's not just Roe. It's the contraception. It's the gay marriage. It's everything.
Yeah, it's everything is at hazard.
It's Trump coming back. And Ben, I know you've said many, many, many times that he's got zero chance of coming back in 2024. Tell me why not. And, J.D. And Vance, that motherfucker. He comes from 6% to win the nomination. Yeah, go
ahead. Chris, if you don't think this is going to affect you or somebody you know, you're delusional.
Oh, God, of course. Of course. I was raised right. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
It's a big fucking deal.
Yeah, it's a big fight. It's a game changer. We've been set back to what? The 50s.
Shit, man. They want to. Are you fucking kidding me? This party wants to roll back the Enlightenment, the Renaissance, the whole kit and caboodle. They want us back in 13. When was the year of the Black Plague?
That would be about
13, 18, whatever.
Yeah,
that's 1347. There you go.
Would anybody be surprised if they tried to outlaw contraceptives, condoms, birth control? I mean, look where we're at. Look where we came. No pun intended. But seriously, would anybody be surprised?
No, and in fact, there's a, you know, this is Mother's Day weekend.
Yep.
I know how much it means to you, Steve.
Absolutely. Went and seen Mom yesterday. Very emotionally draining, but that's, go ahead, Robin. So sorry.
Well, there's a cartoon out of the New Yorker. Shows two younger women talking. Maybe they're in a bar. And one of them says to the other, "For Mother's Day, my mom would like for the activism of her youth to not be for nothing."
Wow.
And I guess that's a question worth asking.
Did we kick off this craziness?
Well, I was just going to ask, you know, did the ball get dropped?
Who dropped it? And to hear people say rape is a state of mind?
Oh, yeah, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because Joy in Ann Arbor sent...
What?
Joy in Ann Arbor sent me an entirely different take on rape as a state of mind.
You can't believe what you're hearing nowadays.
We talked about it last night, and... You know, I think we generally sort of looked at it as, so a guy's not guilty of rape if he doesn't feel like it's rape to him? But
I don't know what that means, and you tried to explain it last night, Robin, and I appreciate that, but it's still, I'm having a very difficult time processing it.
Well, you're having a hard time processing it because it's insane, Steve.
It's archaic.
But we looked at it from the state of mind of the rapist, and in the law, you know, you take, burglary. To break and enter the dwelling place of another with intent to commit a felony or any larceny therein. So that means that if you don't have intent to commit a felony or any larceny therein and you break and enter, you're not guilty of a crime. So, for instance, locksmiths break and enter all the time.
Well, no means yes, and vice versa? I mean, is that where we're at?
Well, no, I mean, just work with me here. A locksmith breaks and enters all the time. But it's not burglary because he does not, she does not, they do not have the intent to commit a crime once they've broken and entered. They're just trying to let the homeowner into their freaking house. Okay? That's the distinction. But there is a necessary component of intent that you have to allege in the charging document, in the indictment. And so in rape statutes, you will see language like, and it's been a long time since I had to deal with these things, but
in the state of West Virginia, unless it's changed, rape was defined as, and this is the intent portion of it, for the sexual gratification of the attacker. And even that is bullshit language, because rape is not a sex crime. Rape is a crime of power and violence. But it's still on the books that way. So, you know, there is an intent component, but that was not what the asshole on Washington Journal was talking about. And
one of the most insidious violations I can think of.
Yeah, and we looked at it from the standpoint of, if he tells himself, you know, it was like the guy on who got arrested getting off the plane in Phoenix last week or whenever it was. Well, I'm homophobic and I guess I was triggered. Now, this guy threw a glass of ice at a flight attendant and called them and called the flight attendant homophobic insults, epithets. And he offered it up as a kind of an affirmative defense. Well, I only did it because I'm homophobic, and you know I've got a. And so the next step is I have a deeply, closely held element of my religious faith that says I have to be homophobic. Okay, you still with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we take into account what Joy in Ann Arbor said to me this morning. She said, I interpreted rape as a state of mind in a different, equally horrific way, as in, just lie back and enjoy it. Don't think of it as rape, which is what that Republican who got beat in his race for state legislature up in Michigan actually said a while back. It's like I tell my daughters, if you're being raped and it's inevitable, just lay back and enjoy it.
Last house on the left. Jesus Christ, man. What is wrong with these people?
And his own daughter said, for God's sakes, if you're a voter in Michigan, please do not vote for my dad. So Joy in Ann Arbor continues, rape is merely a woman's construct, her attitude toward what is happening, because if she's in love, it's the same physical act. So stop thinking, oh, I'm being raped, and lie back and enjoy it. She adds, either way, I hate these creatures with every cell of my foremothers.
Of course. They're monsters.
But, and once again, that puts the onus on the woman.
But, Robin, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Sam Alito quote somebody from the Salem witch trials in the thing that leaked out?
Yeah, Hale.
Saying,
Hale.
It's okay to rape your wife.
Yeah.
She's your property. It's okay to...
Judge Hale. Judge Hale. H-A-L-E. Yeah.
And Chris, you're right. We're not back to the 50s. We're back to the fucking 1600s, man.
Earlier in 1347. Robin got
or whatever that was. Jesus.
Yep. Well, 1347 is the plague. Salem witch trials is into the mid-17th century. But yeah,
and I felt Jude's, you know, I felt she was upset, and I felt that with her, because it's very, and Todd as well, it's very difficult to process that kind of mindset. You know, we're not evolving, we are devolving at a terrifying rate.
And think about this, in 1347, you didn't have a whole bunch of fucking maggots running around bitching about wearing masks.
They were hanging.
My body, my choice. You did that.
They were hanging.
No, pretty soon people, they were actually putting. Too. You know, they came up. You everybody's seen it. That mask with the long beak on it. That was the plague doctor mask. No, they wanted. They wanted masks. They wanted to not. And of course, they didn't realize that they were being infected by flea bites. So that's one of those moments when a mask avails you not.
Is that what that's for? Mm-hmm. I never knew the symbolism behind that.
They also carried flowers, thinking that the sweet aroma of flowers would dispel plague. Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies. At you, we all fall down. That's a rhyme about the plague.
Yes.
And by the way, Darlene in Connecticut says, exactly, just like Joy, that's exactly what I thought that ass who called into C-SPAN meant. I thought you had all figured that out. You all just figuring it out now? Got to be a male privilege blocker thing. Well, it was looking at it from the standpoint of someone calling in and excusing rape as a matter of intent on the part of the rapist.
Well, no matter how it was perceived, I feel that, you know, all progressives were equally as horrified.
Well, it's because it's a sickening statement. Because these maggots are sickening attempts at humanity. Genuinely horrifying.
And to think that's where we're at. It's very troubling. Very troubling. And Elizabeth Warren, I don't know if you've kept up with her, but she is just
on fire.
Outraged. Yeah, on fire, yes. And their only solution is we've got to, you know, we have to vote left. We've got to get these cretins out of there.
We got to turn out. Again, this is the most important election in the history of the United States of America.
We say that every election, but it's more true and true every time.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly it, Steve.
We're in a very dark place, and I keep saying that week after week.
My sister's pretty apoplectic. I told her we were chatting last night.
But we all should
be. She goes, what are we going to do, Chris? And I go, I ain't got no freaking idea. If we lose the House and the Senate or the...
It's possible.
We're in deep, deep shit, guys.
Look at the numbers. It's possible. That's terrifying. Where are we going from here?
Well, ask the Iranians.
Ask the Saudis.
Yeah.
I mean, really, how far are we from public beheadings at this point?
Not too far off.
You know,
you say you love the baby and you crucify the man. I mean, Jesus Christ. It's really hard for me to codify or even put into words. And I'm sorry, I did not mean to take this program and
Fine. You're fine. Believe you me. I'm glad you're putting this out there.
Is there any difference between the Supreme Court and that gang of mullahs that runs Iran?
Well, I mean, that's similar to the question that I asked the other night, Christopher. What's the difference between a clinic bomber and the Supreme Court?
Great point.
And I can't imagine that old Balls and Strikes Roberts is particularly happy that people are out there asking that question. I mean, at least we're asking it. And the only thing I can come up with in the way of an answer is to say that a clinic bomber only kills people in the clinic, whereas the Supreme Court is going to kill women they've never even heard of and don't much care about.
One hand on the Bible, one hand on the gun. Who the fuck are these people?
They're terrifying. Go ahead, Jeremy.
I heard Malloy either tonight or it was either tonight or it was Wednesday's program. And he was talking about how some of these anti-abortion groups used to get down on all four outside of clinics and crawl up the lady seeking abortion saying, "Mommy, mommy, don't hurt me." I would have.
Why, Randall Terry. Fox.
I would have football kicked him in the head so fucking hard that his eyes would have spun.
It's Randall Terry. That was the Operation Rescue shit.
Yeah.
Just the idea of this, and then to say that a bundle of cells can feel pain. When, if you're lucky, you have memories for maybe three on. You have no memory of the womb. You're not conscious till you come out. You depend on your mother for fucking memories.
It's terrifying, Jeremy.
And to think that they want to use this as precedent to reverse everything they don't like is terrifying. Everything. They want to put us back to a white, male-dominated society that's dominated by what their fucking Bible says, regardless if you believe it or not. And if you don't, damn you.
Off with your head.
And it looks like they may pull this shit off. If we don't throw a flag on the play real quick and get out in front of this, and time is fucking running out, it's going to be a very dangerous place. I hate being this fucking dark. I hate it.
Oh, it
sucks. They're so opposed to people who don't believe, even though us that don't really believe in some of that mumbo jumbo, have said, I don't care who you love. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you believe. Don't enforce me to live the way you think I should. I won't do this. I won't do it to you either. I'll leave you alone. Do whatever the fuck you want. But don't tell me how to live, and I won't tell you how to live. As long as you're not hurting yourself or family members, I don't fucking care.
You know, I hate that all these people, I get the believers, and Tracy's talked about it. Steve, you've talked about it too. I'm not questioning your faith, and I don't get it, right? For me, it's crazy, all right? I mean, that's just the way I look at the world. But
catharsis, Chris, is that where you're going?
To take it, no, but for me to do what Stalin did or what Mao did and actually take it away from you forcibly and put you in prison if you believe in, you know, something, a higher power or whatever, however you want to describe it, God, that is authoritarian, that 180 degrees around, right?
Absolutely, and it's one of those places where we've dropped the ball in not calling out what this is. You know, we tend to couch it in legitimate, and it's legitimate to make these arguments that the Ninth Amendment, the 14th Amendment should protect privacy. And, you know, RBG said, you have to frame this argument in terms of the right to privacy. And she was right. But ultimately, every anti-woman argument comes down to an attempt on the part of these politicians to establish a state religion, their state religion, and compete. Because, look, let's be clear. There are Christian faiths that support a woman's right to choose. There absolutely are. And when you take that right away, you are taking away the religious values that this court says